You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Hotel Mars, Episode N. David Livingston, Dr. Space himself is here with me, and we're headed to Mars. Thanks to Michael Hecht. Michael is the associate director at Haystack Observatory, MIT, but most importantly, he's the principal investigator on a toaster, so-called metaphor by the Washington Post, a toaster on board Perseverance, the rover on the surface of Mars, Jezero Crater. And this toaster, this MOXIE, which Michael will demonstrate for us, is a road to the future of Martian colonization. This is not Hollywood anymore. This is an experiment that works. Michael, congratulations. Good evening. Introduce us to MOXIE, which, of course, stands for an acronym. But in any event, I love the name MOXIE. What is it meant to do, Michael? Thank you.
Very glad to be here. And thank you for letting me talk about one of my favorite subjects. MOXIE is going to solve a big problem for us on when we go to Mars someday, when maybe my grandchildren or yours go to Mars. And, you know, when Lewis and Clark set off across the United States, they brought all the things they needed, from ammunition to food, but they did not have to worry about oxygen. When we go to Mars, there's a beautiful planet waiting for us to explore, and it's got lots that we need, but no oxygen. And sometimes we don't think about the fact that we not only need that oxygen to breathe, which we then use to help turn our fuel, our food, into energy, but we need it for anything, any other fuel we turn into energy, whether it's our car or our campfire or, most importantly, the rockets that take us to and from the planet Mars. So we could bring tons and tons and tons of oxygen with us every time we go to Mars, or we can make it there. And MOXIE is showing that, indeed, we can make it there. And I'd like to think this will bring the day that we actually set foot as a species on Mars, you know, 10 years or more closer, by being able to make the oxygen we need out of thin Martian air. The Martian air is indeed very thin. It's less than a percent as thick as the air here on Earth, but it is almost entirely carbon dioxide, which contains within it oxygen. So the trick is to make like a tree and to extract that oxygen from the carbon dioxide. Well, we can't send a grove of trees to Mars, but we can send MOXIE.
Mars Oxygen In Situ Resource Utilization Experiment, hence MOXIE. David, you have a question for Michael.
Is CO2 the only thing it's converting, or what else is in the Martian atmosphere that adds to the conversion to O2?
CO2 is about 95-96% of the atmosphere on Mars. The rest is argon and nitrogen, which by themselves would be very useful. Right now, they just pass on through MOXIE out the other side. But in a future version, we might collect them to use for different purposes. The only thing making the oxygen today and in the foreseeable future is carbon dioxide. Someday, we will also explore Mars and collect water, collect ice. And that's another ingredient we can use to make not only oxygen, but fuel, and who knows, maybe someday vodka. I don't know.
So this is chemistry, fundamental chemistry. You've got a machine, MOXIE, a robot, that converts CO2 into oxygen. How does it do that, Michael? Can you give us a formula, or is it a, is it like a magical Jules Verne episode where, you know, you push the you push the raw material in one side and out the other side comes a magic weapon?
Let me try a few different ways. A formula, sure. You know, two CO2 molecules. Two CO2 goes to two CO, carbon monoxide, and one O2, one oxygen molecule. So what does that all mean? That means we're taking one carbon dioxide molecule, which has one carbon and two oxygen atoms, and we're carefully pulling off one of those oxygen atoms, leaving the other one alone, so that what's left behind is carbon monoxide gas, which will harmlessly go away. If we pulled them both off, we'd have carbon, and quite frankly, that would make a mess and stop the instrument from working. So the art is to pull one oxygen atom off. That's the chemical formula. How do we do that? It's surprisingly like a fuel cell. And I think most people have some idea how fuel cells work. They're kind of like an engine, but nothing burns. Instead of making heat, you make electricity directly from reacting to chemicals. MOXIE is a sort of fuel cell, but instead of reacting to chemicals to make electricity, it runs the other way. So it uses electricity to pull apart those molecules and make the fuel.
So the power... Frankenstein needed power too, lightning. So the power is like Frankenstein. You introduce electricity and it separates CO2 into carbon monoxide, and the oxygen is then collected by MOXIE?
Well, this little version of MOXIE here is to show that we can do it on Mars. So we do very little more with the oxygen than simply measure it, make sure it's pure, and then catch and release, send it on its way, send it back out to the Mars atmosphere. But in the future, it'll get put in a tank of liquid oxygen like you see strapped to the bottom of a rocket.
David, you have a question.
This is similar to photosynthesis. So which process is more efficient and how do they differ? So if you had a plant versus MOXIE, what would we expect the difference to be?
Well, that's a really interesting question. Plants, of course, do more than convert CO2 to oxygen. They're not that altruistic. They're out for themselves. And so what they do is they take carbon dioxide and they take water and they make carbohydrates, which is their food, and they release oxygen. MOXIE just does half of that process, and it does it with a catalytical chemical method through a membrane. But someday, when we have water on Mars, then we'll be doing something much more like a tree, where we'll be starting with water and oxygen, just like the trees, and we'll put them together and we'll make oxygen and fuel, probably something like methane. So next generation, it'll be even more like a tree.
I read there's a history with MOXIE. You started in the spring of 2021 in Jezero Crater, where Perseverance is, and you made a little less than 6 grams. But now I read you've made 10 grams. So MOXIE is getting better at extracting oxygen. You're learning to be more efficient. What explains what is apparently your cup runneth over?
There are two things that are changing. One is simply that we're getting more confidence. When I mentioned when we run MOXIE, you have to be very careful not to push it too hard. If you push it too hard, you start making carbon, which the ironic thing, by the way, you call that process coking, and you call that carbon coke. And of course, MOXIE is a soft drink. Coke is a soft drink. They were once competitors. They're still competitors. Coke will destroy MOXIE. So as we learn more about the instrument, we've gotten more confident pushing it harder and harder toward that limit without actually crossing it. Now, the other thing that's changed, though, is Mars. And Mars has seasons and has climate and has weather. And as the year has gone by, the atmosphere has gotten thicker and thicker. And then it's starting just right now to start getting thinner again. So we took advantage of that thicker atmosphere to make more oxygen.
David, you have a question.
If you are making this oxygen, theoretically, what type of scaling up would it have to go through to support a crewed mission to Mars of, say, six people? I mean, I know you're not near that now, but what are you dreaming about in the future?
Well, it's not as far away as you think to be able to support a crew of six astronauts. First of all, what does that mean? The astronauts themselves, in terms of breathing, they might need in the course of their, you know, we expect a human mission to be about a year and a half on the surface. That has to do with how the planets line up. And over the course of that year and a half, six astronauts might use, let's say, 3 tons of oxygen, which is an awful lot. But the rocket that takes them off the surface to get them on the way home is going to use closer to 30 tons, you know, 10 times as much. Rockets breathe a lot more than people do. And so we're going to need 30 plus tons for those six people. That means we need to make 2 to 3 kilograms an hour of oxygen to fill up that tank in time for the people, for the crew to arrive. Right now we're making 6 or 10 grams. So that's scaling up by 200 or more, but it's not as hard as it sounds. The main reason we make so little oxygen is because the rover has a tiny little power plant. It can deliver us 100 watts of power like a light bulb. The human mission, just to, for the people to do their thing and survive, is going to need 20 or 30 kilowatts of power. If you gave us that today, we can make you your 2 or 3 kilograms of oxygen an hour today. It's just a matter of having enough power.
We're speaking to Michael Hecht. He is the associate director at Haystack Observatory, MIT. He is most importantly the principal investigator on the NASA experiment on board Perseverance called MOXIE. When we come back, what does this mean for the future? And I'm going to play the fun game that we have with every curious investigator in NASA and other enterprises. I'm going to give Michael an unlimited budget and see what he'll make of it. David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show, is with me. This is Hotel Mars, Episode 8.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.